will be joined shortly by Sam Parker, but I wanted to cover this story first, in this first little 5 minutes, from New York Post today. Clinton-tapped judge could toss Tish James Comey cases after hearing arguments that Trump's prosecutor was unlawfully appointed. A federal judge on Thursday suggested that she could toss the charges against ex-FBI boss James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James, as she appeared to agree with the arguments that the prosecutor who brought the cases is illegitimate. James and Comey, Tish James and James Comey, are seeking to have their cases for bank fraud and lying to Congress respectively, dismissed on this technicality, claiming Bondi used up her one opportunity to appoint somebody to the empty position for a 120-day period when she installed Halligan's predecessor. Prosecutor Henry Whitaker countered during Thursday's hearing, the attorney general is entitled to multiple 120-day appointments. Curry appeared not to agree with that argument, noting that judges had traditionally made appointments to fill vacant U.S. attorney posts for centuries. Congress gave the attorney general the power to make interim appointments starting in 1986. During normal term periods, the president would appoint U.S. attorneys who would then be confirmed by the Senate. We have about 200 years where judges made the appointments, Curry said. Defense attorney Abe Lowell argued for James, who was not present in the court Thursday, that the government's position on appointments would give it the perpetual ability to keep it reinstalling people, bypassing Congress's sign-off. If all that's needed is an AG to appoint a U.S. attorney every 120 days, even a person like Steve Bannon or Elon Musk could have overseen the grand jury proceedings, as Halligan did, Lowell argued. Yeah, great point. What? Basically saying, well, he's allowed to pick somebody that Congress wouldn't have allowed. Which, okay, fine, but these are the rules, and we're playing by the rules. And it's just one of these things where it's like, there's got to be a point where justice and the like fundamental requirement, the duty of the government, has to supersede the board game-like rules that govern the process. Like, this is why people want an empire, right? Or a reorganization, where it's just like these rules that have been established and then changed and then altered and then precedents set and da-da-da. And it's like eventually get to a point where it becomes self-defeating. It all becomes absurd. James Comey committed treason, in my opinion. He, at the very least, did in fact lie to Congress. We can't have justice and the dispensation of justice interrupted because of these little technicalities. Because you passed go, but you didn't get $200. It's like, what are we talking about here? We're trying to get justice. We're trying to achieve something here. And, of course, the absurd part about it is that this the interim person was only appointed as a last-ditch emergency effort because Comey was being slow-walked. President Trump's former personal lawyer, Lindsey Halligan, had been on the job for just 4 days as U.S. attorney when she stood before a grand jury seeking an extraordinary and unprecedented indictment of former FBI Director James Comey. There were, of course, the grave political implications of the indictment brought forward after a president demanded retribution against his political enemies with Comey at the top of the list. But there's also the fact that it was the political appointee Halligan alone, with no prior prosecutorial experience, asking the grand jury to hand up an indictment on two counts of lying under oath and one of obstructing justice, a not-so-subtle sign of protest from the Eastern District of Virginia prosecutors over the strength of the case. Again, you need to understand is that for months, U.S. Attorney Eric Siebert slow-walked the prosecution, claimed he could not get an indictment, despite the fact that he was an expert in this and this was his job that he was a veteran in. And it was only when they figured out that he was married to the daughter of James Comey's daughter's godfather, in other words, as close as you can get of a relationship without actually being blood family, that he was fired. This other person came in with no experience and got the indictment in 4 days. So they take their corruption, their malfeasance and manipulation, and then the act taken to confront or counteract their subversion is then being used as a reason why the case can't go forward. Anybody else just tired of these little games? Anybody else just tired and sick and tired of playing these little games with the ever-changing and sometimes ignored rules? Can we just get justice?
Harris said, Listen, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue. Yeah, the Methylene Blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com.
Force One has been deployed. Groip Force One. The anti-Israel contingent. Let's keep the audio up. Keep the audio up. We're still rolling with this. Groip Force One. The federal agents have been deployed to counteract the insurgency. But the happy little frogs are having none of it. This is a fantastic animated AI creation from a user named Transcend1984, but Transcend is with a 3 instead of an E. Transcend, but a 3 instead of an E. 1984 made that Groip Force One. I just thought that was an incredible creation, showing really where the energy is these days and what the mood is these days. And I thought that was a fitting intro to my guest, Sam Parker. You can find Sam Parker on X at BasedSamParker. And he has a GiveSendGo, that's givesendgo.com/defendSamParker, because he has been targeted with the same lawsuit that Elijah Schaefer and others have been saddled with. He's a former U.S. Senate candidate in Utah who has been questioning Alexis Wilkins' background and allegiance and concluded that she may very well be an Israeli spy who may have been set up with Kash Patel by a foreign intel operation. Sam Parker, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Harrison. I appreciate you having me on. I do have to correct the record. I have made no such allegation. I have made no such conclusion and no such allegation. I don't know who Alexis Wilkins is completely. I've just been investigating her background, reading her own posts, reading her own website and articles, and watching her own social media. I don't know who she is, and I don't allege that she works for anybody except herself. I don't know. So I have not concluded that she's Mossad or honeypot, as many people have. I've never made that allegation or assertion. So I want to make that clear right out of the gate. But and I appreciate
well, the producer that wrote this is fired right now.
He's out.
We're not going to stand for it. Well, that's why I said may, and I think I said allegedly. I thought I said allegedly, because you got to be careful. You know, you do have to be careful with this stuff. I've been sort of making the half joke that she has all of the hallmarks of an Israeli Mossad agent, right? That was the way that the FBI phrased Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation. Mm. They never actually said that. They said it has all the hallmarks of it. And it's like these types of little weasel words, but, you know, it can really save you. So actually, that was going to be my first question anyway, because I know Elijah Schaefer has been sued. All he did was retweet a picture of her, you know, on top of somebody else talking about honeypot operations. This has been interpreted to mean all sorts of things that he never actually said. What is it that you've said? What is it that they've presented as, you know, whatever they have to sue you on? On what basis are they filing this lawsuit?
Well, they say that I have insinuated that she's a Mossad honeypot and that it amounts to a violent libel or violent defamation, I believe is the language. And it's mostly based off of a tweet thread that I did last February, by the way, 9 months ago.
Oh, wow.
So it's been out there for a long time. And the tweet thread literally starts with, who is Alexis Wilkins, girlfriend of Kash Patel? Something along those lines. It's like, who is she? And then I just go through a series of tweets that just examine who she is, what her background is. I took her own social media posts, articles of interviews that have been conducted with her. And I just literally ask questions. Well, okay, who is this? What is this? Let's look at this stuff. And that's it. I didn't make any conclusions. I didn't make any assertions. I didn't insinuate in any way, shape, or form that she was Mossad or a honeypot. I just asked some questions, but the most pointed question I think I asked was, What's a 23-year-old, what's a beautiful young 23-year-old doing who paints herself as a devout Christian? Why is a devout Christian with an older Hindu man? I thought it didn't make sense because, you know, she pines for a heritage American. So if anything, I was maybe critical of that, but it was just It's just a question. I wasn't insinuating anything. Like, I don't even know what it means. You know, maybe she doesn't see her Christian devotion. Maybe she doesn't see her relationships or her potential relationship or life partner as relevant to her type of Christianity. I don't know. I'm just asking questions. Like,
she's out of his league, which, frankly, I mean,
that's basically what I said. Yeah, she seems out of his league. Like, here's somebody who could probably get just about any kind of guy she wants, and this is the guy she settled for. Okay, listen, there's no accounting for taste. Maybe that's all it is. Somebody who's dating the director of the FBI, shouldn't we be able to ask some of these questions and just maybe take a look? You know,
right? That is the danger. Hey, every once in a while, you see a couple and you think this must be the result of an international plot because something's off here. Again, I'm making light of this because the whole thing seems silly to me, but it's not silly. You're being sued for $5 million, just like Elijah Schaefer is. Right. This is a serious free speech issue. I mean, if you can be sued for things you didn't even say, insinuations you may have made or questions you may have asked about public people, she is public too, right? He's the director of the FBI. You certainly should be allowed to ask questions about him and anybody in his personal life because he has such a responsibility. But she's also not a wallflower. She's not a private citizen who avoids the spotlight. She's public. She has a public profile. And so is perfectly valid for, in my opinion, any sort of speculation you want to make on her and her motives. Now, my thing was, let's stick on that for a second. Talk about that a little bit and about, you know, what it means that this is an FBI director who is now because he's a part of this lawsuit, right? It wasn't just her. It was him as well. Is he in the filing?
It's his law firm. It's the law firm that represents him and that represents his foundation. I think it's called the Cash Foundation. So either he And it's based out of Washington, D.C. or Virginia or something. And she lives in Nashville. So she's using his or the law firm that represents him and his foundation in another state from where she lives. And I think it's fair, like either he knows about this lawsuit or he doesn't. Right. If he doesn't know that his law firm that represents him and his foundation is representing her in these multiple lawsuits around the, of people around the nation, if he doesn't know that he's the director of the FBI and he doesn't know that his own girlfriend is using his law firm, that's a rough whole other set of questions, right? But let's say he does. Like, if he does, then I guess isn't he allowing it? He's allowing this with his consent. He's allowing, like, yes, law firm that represents me and my foundation, yes, it's okay for you to bring these suits. And so I think it's fair that we should look at that. If he's allowing this to happen, if he's giving his consent, then I think it brings into question a serious First Amendment issue where the director of the FBI is essentially perhaps consenting to lawfare against a private citizen for journalism, social media tweets.
No, it's particularly absurd in this media environment where the top news of the day is the Jeffrey Epstein honeypot operation, and where his emails are released, where you can see very clearly they're talking about leverage. They're talking about, you know, how you can smear people or control people by, you know, hooking them up with people. I mean, what I'm saying is that this is a well-known and well-established practice in the spy world of getting information or compromising somebody as you get them to be in a relationship with one of your agents. So the idea that we're not supposed to ask that question about the people in our government, you know, it's maybe that's not the case with Alexis Wilkins. Maybe she's totally innocent and, you know, whatever, she's not. But in the future, there might be a case where you've got a foreign spy who is, you know, manipulating American politics by being in the relationship with a powerful person. And we have to be able to ask that question and investigate those concerns because they're real. I mean, it's just absurd that this is being filed at a time when a literal Israeli honeypot operation is the number one news story in the nation right now.
No, yeah, absolutely. We have to be able to ask these questions. Now, in terms of Alexis Wilkins, look, as far as I know, she's not Jewish. I've never thought that she's necessarily a Mossad honeypot. I don't know who she is. Listen, she works for a congressman, Abe Hameda, out of Arizona, who is a retired or former captain in U.S. Army military intelligence. She works for him. She's his press secretary. She lives in Tennessee. He's in Arizona. She's his press secretary. She met Kash Patel at a Reawaken America tour that was put on by Mike Flynn, who was the former director of the Defense Intelligence Agency. I don't know what any of this means. Maybe it means nothing. Maybe she's just a really talented, beautiful girl who's connected herself to a lot of important people and is now dating Cash because they met and fell in love. I mean, that's perfectly possible. Maybe that's what happened. I don't know. But I do find it curious and interesting that she is at the nexus of all these interesting people and relationships. And I don't know too many people like that. So I thought it was fair to like present that information and just ask some questions, and then the internet can go, you know, whatever, however the internet reacts to that, that's their business. It's not mine. I'm just asking some questions. And to my knowledge, I don't think I ever even remembered asking, hey, do you think she might be a Mossad honeypot? I don't think I ever even asked that. I didn't even ask if she was Mossad or honeypot. I never even asked those questions. I never even insinuated. I just said, okay, here's this person. Here's who she's done work for. Here's her relationships. Here's her social media. Who is she? She's dating Kash Patel. That's it, you know? And
so again, we know with Elijah Schaefer, because, you know, he published some of the documents or we saw some of them where, you know, basically they took a picture and said, by posting this picture, he is in effect saying, and then they have a bunch of things that he never said, but that they're saying he insinuated. Was it similar with the filing against you? I mean, what claims were they making that you made?
So they said that, like, I was insinuating that she was a Mossad honeypot with my thread and some other posts. Like, there was one post where I called her a Christian honey, but, like, you know, honey in terms of, like, let's go to church and check out the honeys, you know, the beautiful babes, right? Like, let's go check out the honeys, right? And to my knowledge, I've not known anybody to ever be a Christian honeypot. Is that even a thing? Is a Christian honeypot a thing?
Interesting.
Like, I don't even think that's a thing, right?
Yeah, but
they alleged that when I called her a Christian honey, that was short for honeypot, and that's where I was saying that she was a honeypot. I'm like, no. and I had a picture. She's a beautiful girl, right? So I'm like, she's a Christian honey. That's what I meant. She's a babe, right? A Christian babe. So then there's like a couple replies that I gave to people, emojis, like other people, I think, making allegations or drawing conclusions. And then I put like emojis for the Twitter engagement, like, you know, an emoji with the spectacle, you know,
right.
The spectacle glass or whatever.
The thinking, and they're saying one that is this a good one, yeah.
Yeah, and the thinking, this is me endorsing the opinion of a response, you know, they're inferring what I meant by an emoji, right?
So it's almost it's almost like there's multiple levels to this. It's like, okay, it's bad enough for you to be sued for making this claim, but then the next level is you didn't even make this claim. The next level is she's a public person, and any speculation I think is warranted. Maybe you can't make factual claims you can't back up, but I think any sort of mitigating, I think this is the case or this might be the case, I mean, you're allowed to do that with a public person. Then you've got the fact that she's tied in with the FBI director on top of it. It's like any one of these things should mean that this case should have never been brought. You've got multiple instances of this, and it really is just an attack on the First Amendment. I mean, do you think this is more about your thread about Alexis Wilkins? Have they been stewing over this since February and just now filed the lawsuit, or do you think this is about your overall coverage, your anti-Israel, you know, sentiment? Because that was what I was getting from Elijah Schaefer. He interviewed with Alex earlier today about the same subject. He's also being sued. And he was saying basically thinks it's because of his anti-Israel coverage. They wanted to target him, and so this is what they decided to target him with. Do you think something similar is happening with you?
I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to pretend to read Kash Patel's mind. I do know that he tweeted like, hey, you can come after me, but don't come after my girlfriend.
That's right. He did.
And this,
that,
at the very least, seems like the legal embodiment of, you know, him inserting himself, don't talk about, it's the legal equivalent of, hey, don't talk about my girlfriend or something. That's what it feels like. That's what it seems like. Beyond that, I mean, I don't know. I am very outspoken. I'm a very outspoken anti-Israel voice, of course. I've been very outspoken investigating the Charlie Kirk assassination and what I think might be a cover-up. And I know that Kash Patel doesn't like that insinuation. He called people like me who are investigating this, he called us anarchists, right? A couple of weeks ago. I'm not saying that this is retribution for that, but maybe it's a factor. You know, I don't know. I can't read his mind. But like I said before, either he knows about this or he doesn't. And if he doesn't know, no, that's a big problem. And if he does, that's also a problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, it's another problem with this Trump administration and Kash Patel in particular. It's just another thing that's just like, what are you doing, dude? Like, why focus on this? This is such a dangerous precedent. And you're doing it against right wingers. I mean, it's so absurd. Do you know who else has been sued? So it's you and it's Elijah Schaefer. And of course, I want to remind people to go to givesendgo.com/defendSamParker. And you can follow Sam on X at @BasedSamParker. And I want to encourage people to do that because I do think it's important you guys win this case. I think it's really important that this not be set as a precedent for people to be able to do, despite the fact that they've done it to us. I mean, you might not know, but, you know, an FBI agent was central to the lawsuit against Alex Jones. It was an FBI agent that we'd never mentioned before, but was apparently involved in the case. And he was sort of the person who got the whole case going and, as far as I understand, recruited the other people to join him in this large-scale lawsuit. So the FBI using lawsuits to silence people is not even anything new. They did it to us. It seems like now they're doing it to y'all. Who else has been targeted by this?
Kyle Serafin is the other one.
Really?
In August, he made some comment on his podcast or his stream about her, and then she's suing him over that too, also for $5 million. Now, when that happened back in August, I thought, well, you know, at that point in time, it had been like 6 months since I'd done my thread, and I hadn't heard anything. And I'm like, I never called her anything. I never accused her of being anything. I never made any definitive assertions of any kind. So I think I'm fine. You know, I think I'm okay. You know, I just asked some fair questions, presented some publicly available information and left it at that. I wasn't even the most viral post. Other people I saw were making posts that were definitively saying she was a honeypot or really directly asking the question, is she a honeypot? And they're getting like 5, 6, 10, 20 million views. Like my thread got like, I don't know, 1.5 million views over 9 months or something. So it's not even like a top. It's like not even a top post. I mean, it's not nothing, but it's not even a top post. So I don't know. The timing is very interesting. You know, if Kash Patel knows about this and he's given his consent. I mean, that's strange. And I don't know, maybe, like, doesn't that maybe open him up to discovery? Doesn't that make him possibly a witness in this, in these proceedings? Like, and now his communications, is it responsible of him to be doing this? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
Well,
but are we afraid to ask the question? Because as you pointed out, this could set a terrible precedent. What if they're victorious in these lawsuits against Kyle Serafin and Elijah Schaefer and myself? What if let's say they're victorious. What kind of chilling effect is that going to have on journalism in this country and just social media in general? If, like me, I'm just a Twitter journalist, I'm a social media journalist, I just dig up information, report stuff, state my opinions, ask questions. If somebody like me, you know, if they're successful against me and Elijah and Kyle, this is going to have a super chilling effect. It's going to set a terrible precedent for other future lawsuits that other powerful figures can use to go after people online for asking legitimate questions, having legitimate concerns, and doing legitimate journalism.
Well, 100%. And of course, this in particular is such a strange sort of thing to try to establish a precedent on, because the whole point of being a spy is that there's not going to be evidence for it, right? So it's like if you're not able to speculate whether somebody is a foreign operative without proof, how are we going to get – of course you have to be able to speculate this, knowing that proof may never arise and it will always maintain, right, you know, be maintained in the realm of speculation. Like, that's fine, but the whole point of being a spy is that the powers that be, the authority structures in your nation, can and will hide factual evidence that they're spies under national security. So this whole thing seems absurd. If anything, it's like you should be able to speculate that anybody is a foreign spy. Like, that is sort of fundamental. And we don't have too much longer with you, but my whole thing with Alexis Wilkins was that she works for Prager University, which is run by an alumni of Unit 8200. It's well known. Marissa Strait was in Israel's Unit 8200, which is their cyber warfare psychological operations unit. She now runs PragerU, and Alexis Wilkins now works for her. No matter what you think, that is a foreign spy employing Kash Patel's girlfriend. Am I wrong there?
Well, I think we do have to be careful. She made a post that I responded to where she says she doesn't work for a spy, but she did work for the PragerU platform. And I thought that was a bit of a hair split. I'm like, okay, so you don't work for a spy, but you did some work for the platform.
Right.
Okay, but that's not me. I'm not accusing Alexis of being a spy. Hundreds, maybe thousands of people have done some work for PragerU.
Sure, they're not all spies.
And I'm not alleging that everybody who's done some work for PragerU is a spy. I'm not alleging that she's a spy. I was just, you know, okay, let's just be truthful about the facts here. If you think that Marissa Strait is still a spy, because once a spy, always a spy, and she took an oath to, you know, an oath of loyalty to Israel when she joined the IDF, then it's reasonable to think, well, maybe Marissa Strait is still a spy, and therefore anybody that does work for the PragerU platform is doing work for somebody who is a foreign intelligence operative. But I'm not making that allegation. You know, I'm not making that allegation. I'm not saying she is. I'm not saying that anybody that works for PragerU is. I think there's a lot of well-meaning people that do work for PragerU, that submit content for PragerU. A lot of good people, a lot of well-meaning people.
But their CEO herself has acknowledged that she worked for this highly secretive IDF battalion. So, yeah, I think that's perfectly valid criticism. So you never even made the claim, but they're suing you for $5 million, folks. Go to givesendgo.com/defendSamParker. He's on X at @BasedSamParker. Support him, because we cannot allow them to set this precedent. This is massively dangerous. The First Amendment is on the line here. Thank you, Sam.
You know, today is the one-year anniversary of the fake auction they had last year. The judge ordered an auction. We had groups to buy that would keep us on air. We later sued them. I got the internal emails. The U.S. trustee of the Justice Department that intervened in my bankruptcy, where they're talking to the Democrat Party plaintiffs. So they said, we're not going to ever let him stay on air. We're just going to cancel the auction and basically give it to you. But tell the judge in the world it was an auction. Remember all that? That auction was today, a year ago. How embarrassing for them. And a lot more has obviously come out, and a lot more is.
The satirical website and newspaper, The Onion, has taken over the website InfoWars of Alex Jones, the very platform that Jones used to spread horrific conspiracy theories, including those really awful false claims about the Sandy Hook shooting. Jones responded on social media today saying this:
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm going to be here until they come in here and turn the lights off.
Lights off, buddy. The website's shut down. This is what happens when you search for the site. Quote, unavailable till further notice. So, Ben, what is your plan for the site?
We're going to take it and take the universe that Alex created and just pave it over. We're going to create a new world where hopefully in a couple of years, if you think of InfoWars, you'll either think of this day where we pulled off this very ridiculous joke where we're able to purchase InfoWars as is.
And there is an investigation of that going on. I'll just stop there. They already know. They've been visited. But they don't care. They just go forward. And I said, you cancel the auction. This isn't a real auction. I'm going to go challenge it. And the judge wasn't corrupt and blocked them. So just remember what we've all been through and all the other stuff.
What would you control?
I mean, I really would like to control InfoWars.
No, that's a good answer.
We are listener supported by you. And I'm obviously only going to sell you stuff that really has a great effect. You buy the Patriot t-shirts with the widest selection, some of the best designs, ball caps, hoodies, sweaters, great designs, great messages, wake people up, meet like-minded people. Discover what it's like to be Alex Jones or Donald Trump. It's a total adventure to wear. But the supplements is where I can really deliver to you. The ultramethylene blue, 99.9% of people feel it within 30 minutes. But its real effects are long-term. Cleans out your cells, energizes your body, over-the-top energy with no letdown. The highest quality, highest-rated bovine colostrum. If you don't know about bovine colostrum, please research it. Then know we have the best. 2,000 milligrams per scoop. But the Shilajit, and Shilajit is amazing, but not all Shilajit is equal. No, it would take an hour to get into that. Research Shilajit to know we have the best. It has all these natural peptides that boost testosterone in men, make your skin glow, stamina, libido, clarity. It goes on and on. And so the new flash sale for 48 hours is Shilajit gummies. Buy one, get one free, and a free hat. Murdered Out limited edition InfoWars ball cap, black on black. And this is the last day for the free hat. We're going to extend until tomorrow. Buy one, get one free for the Shilajit gummies. But today is the last day, this Thursday, November 13th, 2025, to get the free ball cap on top of it. That is an amazing deal. I want to thank all of you that have supported. I want to encourage those of you that have been on the fence and haven't done it. Now is the time to take action and experience how great these products are. The Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit, the Bovine Colostrum, the Ultramethylene Blue. It's all there at thealexshow.com, which I don't own. That's our sponsor, Bigly. It's financing and owns the new Alex Jones Network backup system. Everything else is happening. So it's not just critical for your health and your longevity and to experience these great products, which you need to believe me and try them. They really work. It's beyond critical in keeping this transmission on the air, which the globalists dream about getting off the air. So thank you all for your past support. I want to thank those that have taken action. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. I wanted to take a minute and just talk briefly about Israel mostly. Well, just sort of the modern discussion, the endless conversation going on forever, the circles we run in over and over and over again. And it's like, I feel like I understand Alex's frustration, and I feel like I want to explain it. And I've explained it before, but I want to reiterate this. So I want you all to imagine that it's like the mid-90s, and it's like the depths of ignorance, like the full dark ages in America, where you're Alex Jones, you're on like a, you know, community radio station and the Access TV, and you're telling the truth, and you're trying to warn people about the New World Order. But nobody's ready for it. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody thinks you're crazy. Everybody thinks you're an idiot. You're a laughingstock of the New World Order. Yeah, right. Where's your tinfoil hat, weirdo? Meanwhile, you know, the American government just got done burning 80 children to death in Waco. and patting themselves on the back for it. I mean, it was really the depths of ignorance in those times. And as you're doing this, as you're making a name for yourself by telling the truth and being forthright and upfront and showing your evidence and showing your work and being open-minded, like, you're doing all of this, and you find that there's this third rail issue of the Jews. And you find that anytime you talk about conspiracies at all, but certainly anytime you talk about anything to do with Israel or anything to do with the ADL or any other Jewish group, you find you are besieged on both sides by the radical anti-Jew people who are furious that you're not doing enough and are have therefore decided you're a part of the problem and their enemy. And the Jewish side of things, which is calling you an anti-Semite and a Hitler lover and a white supremacist and a danger to peace. Now imagine yourself, like, how do you chart a path to victory talking about the very real conspiracies that go on, the very real occultism that occurs in the background? How do you do it? Because going one way or the other seems like it's a dead end. And it's a false dichotomy anyway. And so you figure out it's a false dichotomy, and instead what you do is you stick with Americana. That's going to be the North Star. It's George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And sure, this group of people comes up and that group of people comes up. At the end of the day, it's about human liberty. It's about our founding documents and the ideas that they represent. It's about the process that brought about the Great Awakening and the Industrial Revolution, the Renaissance, and that America is this capstone on this explosion of human genius. And so, despite all odds being stacked against you, despite being a lone voice in the wilderness arrayed against an impossibly large army, you somehow, through work and grit and truth, succeed. You actually succeed in not just opening people's eyes to the New World Order, but kickstarting a political movement that has the New World Order on its heels. And you've done it over 30 years by never deviating once from that path of righteousness, Americana, pure Americana. Okay? For 30 years, against all odds, you use Americana to bulldoze the New World Order, achieve political victory with Donald Trump saying words you wrote, right? Globalism versus nationalism. Nationalism will be our credo. That's what carried Trump over the line in 2016. That's what caused the insanity to be unleashed. And here we are, 30 years later, having proven that this path of pure Americana was the right one, was the successful one, has had results that were unimaginable when he began. And here, 30 years later, a bunch of teenagers come along to say, shut up, old man, it's the Jews, we figured it out. We'll take it from here. We're all Nazis now. Can you imagine how frustrating that is? Can you imagine how frustrating it is in pursuit of true liberty, in pursuit of the fundamental ideology that founded this country and created the Western world, only to at the moment of victory have a bunch of literal Nazis show up and tell you, actually, we did this. Actually, this was us, and we'll take it from here. We hate everyone. Get your guns. You know, it's like, why would anybody be okay with this? And why would anybody think that this would be a necessary or even advisable path to go down? It's ridiculous. And if Alex had chose to go down that road, if he'd listened to some of those bullying voices in the beginning, you think we'd be where we are now? Do you think we would have had the success that we've had? Do you think our message would have resonated with people all over the world that spread the information and made people aware of it? So, because I understand, people, they talk to me about it, and they get frustrated with how Alex, you know, talks about this issue. But how do you not understand how frustrating that is to be the leader of this movement and find that people are deliberately trying to take it off the rails. And the desperation and the intensity with which you must maintain trajectory. Because we've proven this is the right method. We know it in our hearts, and it just is ideologically. Again, I want to make clear, I'm not saying that this, like, strategically we did this, but, you know, actually we believe it's like, this is just how it worked. This is just what was needed at the time, was to reconnect ourselves with the things that made America great. All right, you guys got to take it down. It's distracting me. It's distracting me. Tends to happen, doesn't it? You get distracted. You take your eye off the ball. Suddenly things get all wobbly. So anyway, I've just been thinking about that recently. And I just wanted to reiterate that. I think I said it during Tamiran one time when he was in. But I wanted to say that just specifically to the camera, because I don't think people understand what it's been like to be so demonized, to be so mischaracterized, to be so hated from people on both sides of the aisle, to feel the pressure of people on one side saying, don't blame anything on the Jews, and the people on the other side saying, why do you blame anything on anybody but the Jews? You know, it's like, it's infuriating, it's frustrating, and it's unproductive. And at the end of the day, it's not even true, and we can get into all of that, but suffice it to say, the path forward, just like the path behind, is Americana. It's George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Teddy Roosevelt, and Andrew Jackson. It's Abraham Lincoln and it's Robert E. Lee. This is what we're about. This is what we promote. This is why we've had the success that we've had, because it's true, because it resonates in the heart of every man who's capable of recognizing goodness. So we're going to keep doing that. We're going to keep succeeding, and we're going to welcome everybody else as they inevitably join us right here where we've been the entire time. I get a little frustrated at this. Even though it's a good thing what's happening. I've said this before. Nick Fuentes says a lot of stuff that's out there and whatever. You go to other people for words to describe what Nick Fuentes does. But obviously it's racial and it's religious and it's, you know, sort of a narrow demographic that he specifically speaks to and for. And yet, in one of his most recent shows, and the clip has gone viral many times over, he says, I don't care what color you are. I don't care what religion you are. If you're an American, if you were born here, if your family built this country, if your family or you fought for our values, then we're on the same team. And it's like, yeah, we know. It's like, yeah, we know. So yeah, not to start anything with Nick or anything, but it's like, yes, we told you. Welcome. Because it's just the message. It's just the right message. It's just the correct way to see the world. It's just the correct way to approach these topics. And eventually, if you're seeking the truth, if you're seeking true unity, if you're seeking what's best for America, you will also come to that conclusion. People get confused at that. They think that means that we don't like white people, that we're playing along with the melting pot idea. No, we're not falling for any of that stuff. We are just doing what our ancestors did. We're just listening to our ancestors, reading their writings, understanding and believing them. So there's no way InfoWars would be as powerful as it is today if we'd gone down some of these darker paths, or if we'd taken the money to go down the approved path. We have, Alex Jones has, carved with his own hands the path of Americana. And it is offensive to me a lot of times when you see people that are following in Alex Jones' footsteps, whose viewpoint is only really possible because of the information that Alex Jones originally spread, so disrespecting the pioneer that blazed the trail that they're so leisurely walking down. So we'll continue to blaze the trail. We'll continue to pursue that North Star. We'll continue to reiterate our firmly held and deeply committed belief of the value of every human being and the ability of every human being to manifest the Spirit of God. So when everybody wants to join us over here, we'll be waiting. All right. And I say that because as a little intro as well to what we'll talk about with Tucker Carlson, but I should mention that all kudos in the world go to Alex Jones, but he would be nothing without you. And we would be nothing without you. And none of this would be possible to even dream of without the InfoWars audience. So thank you for backing the right horse. Thank you for understanding and helping us to spread and deliver this message. And we plan on continuing to do so forever, if we can. And really, however long we last is entirely dependent on you going to thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com. We got a ton of great stuff there. Bovine colostrum. 2-for-1 Shilajit gummies. There's also the brand new mobile app. I like this. Just keep the website here going so I can tell you all the different things. I forget. We have so many different things, so many different ways for you to support us, so many different incredible products for you to buy. I forget half of them half the time. Shilajit right now is buy one, get one free. The Shilajit gummies, absolutely incredible stuff. Buy one, get one free. Plus, you get a free hat. It's the blacked out, or as Alex says, the murdered out InfoWars hat. So it's a little more subtle. It's not quite in your face, but it's black on black, and it looks very cool, and it's extremely high quality. These hats are the best of the best, just like our supplements are the best of the best, just like our news and our ideology is, in fact, the best of the best. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. And on that note, I think I'd like to read a tweet I did. Actually, guys, if you can print it out, I'll read it off a sheet. But I did a very long tweet yesterday, or this morning, I guess, is when I posted it, explaining a very sort of harsh and quick post I did. I want to read that if the guys can bring it out to me. But before we do that, and this is all on the same topic, I want to go to these clips from Tucker Carlson. He did a long episode today, sort of taking Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin to the mat, letting them have it. And I just want to say, just have me on, Tucker. You can just have me. Just give me a call. Give Alex a call. Just have me on, because you keep using my talking points and it's flattering. But you can just say, you can just get it from the source. Just have me on. I'm not even really joking. Let's go to clip number 17 here. This is from Tucker's latest episode. And the whole thing goes on for a while, so I'll pause it and comment. But he makes some good points here. They're very good points. They're so good that I've made them many times before. Let's watch.
Pretty much every morning you wake up and open your phone and think to yourself, I wonder if this roiling fight on the right is still ongoing, the fight over who's a Nazi and who's Nazi adjacent and who should be platformed and who should be deplatformed. That fight, the one that has mesmerized X users across the world. What is that fight actually about and how long will it continue? Well, the first thing to know about it is that it didn't start 3 weeks ago with Nick Fuentes' appearance on a podcast. No, this has been a fight taking place mostly behind the scenes since January. And that tells you a lot about what it's actually about. So here's how it began.
All right, can we pause it here? Can we pause it? Has anybody else been saying this? Nobody else that I've seen has been saying this. What Tucker Carlson just said, I've been saying since January. And you know this. If you watch American Journal or War Room, I've said over and over again that the unspoken story, like the big secret narrative going on behind the scenes, is the civil war between the Trump administration and Israel. Now, I don't even think Tucker Carlson gets into some of the nitty-gritty here, but he's laying down the exact timeline that I've been observing in real time since it began. From Signalgate to the attempts to oust anti-war people in the Pentagon and around J.D. Vance, the attempt to oust Pete Hegseth, again, Signalgate, the leaks there, the ousting of Mike Waltz from the Trump administration because he was in communication with Netanyahu, the visits one after another to Netanyahu. As this was happening in real time, I was going, this is desperation. Netanyahu coming over and over again ain't because he's given orders. It's because he needs something. It's because this is desperation and he's trying to, you know, woo or seduce the Trump administration into starting war with Iran. So I love seeing Tucker Carlson illustrate this thread, this narrative thread that doesn't get highlighted by anybody but me, as far as I can tell. Again, I don't, you know, you don't need to hear this if you're a regular viewer, but like I constantly say this is the unspoken story. This is the true, you know, it's almost like this battle is going on. It's almost like a battle going on in the ocean, and it just every once in a while you see bubbles come up and you go, I think I know what's going on down there. I think I can see through the shadows and tell who's fighting who over what. And it's Israel trying desperately to trick or seduce or threaten or blackmail or whatever the Trump administration into full-fledged war with Iran. And it still goes on, and this still continues. And what's happening online with MAGA versus MIGA or the Charlie Kirk assassination, like it's all aspects of this. And what happened with Charlie Kirk, the text messages that were released showing his frustration with the Jewish lobby, showing his frustration with the forces around Trump telling him to go to war with Iran when Charlie Kirk was the one voice standing up against it. These are all part of this same effort, this same battle taking place behind the scenes. So we'll go back to Tucker Carlson here, but again, we've been watching this in real time, and I'm just happy Tucker Carlson is maybe making it known to more people. Let's go back.
Created January 22nd of this year. Almost immediately after, he is visited at the White House by the first head of state to come to Washington, the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. And the visit is not simply a congratulatory visit. They're not actually allies in any sense. Remember that Benjamin Netanyahu is one of the very first to congratulate Joe Biden after the 2020 election. So there's probably not a lot of warmth there, just guessing. No, there was a purpose to the visit and the subsequent visits by the Prime Minister of Israel to Washington. And that was to get American support for a regime change war in Iran to overthrow and replace the government of Iran, which the nation of Israel sees as its primary regional threat. Iran has all kinds of very dangerous conventional weapons. The United States spends a lot protecting Israel from those missiles. And Israel is also concerned that at some point, Iran will either make or buy a nuclear weapon, leaving Israel no longer the only nuclear-armed nation in the region. So that's what it's actually about. And to be honest, you can see from Israel's point of view, if you're trying to identify long-term serious threats to you, Iran would be at or near the top of the list, especially since Israel has taken out almost all the other threats. So it really, it's just Iran. The question is it in America's interest to participate in that war? And make no mistake, Israel wouldn't last 3 days in a war by itself against Iran. In fact, probably not even 24 hours. Israel's population centers would be taken out by Iran's conventional weapons. And at that point, the Israeli government could either nuke Iran, starting a chain reaction that, you know, you can't really predict once it begins, or allow hundreds of thousands of its own citizens, certainly tens of thousands, to be killed. So Israel could not do it alone, and no honest person suggests or would suggest that it could. It needs the United States. So the question from the American perspective is it good for America to get involved in yet another Israel-inspired regime change war in the Middle East? There have been quite a few, most notably Iraq. Is that a good idea? And so that debate began, and it mostly began behind the scenes. It didn't sort of peek out into public view very often, but when it did, the people who wanted the regime change war against Iran, almost with almost zero exceptions, almost never admitted what they actually wanted, and they certainly never acknowledged what the debate was actually about. It was about one nation's interest versus another nation's interest. Do those interests convene? Are they the same thing, or are they at odds with each other? I can see what would be a good idea for Israel to want this. Is it a good idea for us? That's the debate that never took place. And it didn't take place because almost from the beginning, the people who wanted regime change war with Iran made the debate instead about, why do you hate the Jews? You're a Nazi. So and of course, again, that was never what the debate was about.
This is a Israel, the sort of timeline that we've laid out ad nauseum on this show. So he's exactly right. And there's a couple things about this. For one, I still see people to this day saying that, oh, you were wrong about Iran. You were fear-mongering. You said it would start World War III. And it's like, well, thank God it didn't, first of all. And I always said, I didn't like that Trump bombed Iran. I didn't like that we participated in that. I am glad it didn't spiral into World War III. But he shouldn't have done it anyway. And it's almost like, if my son is about to like try to shoot an arrow off my daughter's head with a bow and arrow. And I'm like, you shouldn't do that. And then he does it and he hits the apple and she's fine. And it's like, see, Dad, it was fine. It's like, okay, but you still shouldn't have done that. Like, I'm glad it worked out. I'm glad we didn't all die in a nuclear holocaust, but, like, we still shouldn't have taken the risk, and it wasn't a foregone conclusion that it was going to end up as minor of a situation as it turned out to be. So I still completely stand by absolutely everything I said about that. But then on top of that, this again has been the argument I've been making since before the election in 2024, when I debated Michael Tracy and said exactly what Tucker just said. Israel's trying to get America into war with Iran. Iran's the only major force left. Like, all this we know. It's good to see Tucker lay it out. But it's not just the Iran war that this has taken place. That last thing he just said, not once did these people, were these people honest about their arguments. They always couch it in, this is best for America, America's at threat under Iran, when everybody knows that they're arguing for Israel. They're arguing for Israel's interest about what is good for Israel, period. End of story. But that's the same case when it comes to forcing China to sell TikTok. It's the same case when it comes to the pressure to force Harvard to fire their president. They claim that was about cheating or DEI or plagiarism, right? They claim TikTok is about Chinese control of American information. None of these things are in America's interest. None of them benefit America. None of them would have been done if it was America's interests at risk here. It's entirely because of it's Israel's interest, and these people are arguing for Israel, and they're willing and able to use America and cynically and dishonestly appeal to American interest to achieve their ends. So again, wonderful to see Tucker lay out what we've been telling you in ways that we've been telling you. It's going on behind the scenes, but sometimes it bubbles to the surface. This has been going on since Trump got back into office the second time, and it informs practically everything about what this administration has been doing, even before they got inaugurated. As I pointed out, again, ad nauseum, this goes all the way back to Matt Gaetz not being allowed to be the attorney general because of an Israeli honeypot scheme and because he was interested in uncovering Jeffrey Epstein and going against some of the interests that the Israel First lobbyists and subversives didn't want him looking into. So he wasn't allowed to be attorney general. So everything that Pam Bondi is failing to do, you can chalk it up to this conflict. All the stupid stuff Trump is doing with wars overseas, you can chalk up to this conflict. Bringing in 600,000 Chinese as part of the deal to sell TikTok to Larry Ellison, you can chalk up to this conflict. So we have to solve this conflict first and foremost, or anything else. We'll do more on the other side.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.
In the meantime, I do want to remind you, please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. You get a free hat with any purchase. Shilajit is buy one, get one free. Those are the Shilajit gummies, one of my favorite products. I always take the Shilajit gummies. I always take the Irish Sea Moss gummies. They are jam-packed with naturally occurring vitamins and minerals that your body needs and God gives us through these crazy elements. Shilajit and Irish Sea Moss. Who thought that they would be superfoods that you need? Get them today at thealexjonesstore.com.
The truth is just a tap away. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the Alex Jones app, available now on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Stream the latest shows, stay up to date with breaking news, and support free speech with every click. Grab your t-shirts, hats, supplements, and more, all inside the app. Don't wait. Download the Alex Jones app today and join the fight for freedom.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.